Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Glad to have you all here with us, joining us for episode 112 of the podcast. And we are breaking down and talking about today episodes 7 through 9 of season 2 of Andor. And man, is it going to be a fun one talking about this, because these episodes were absolutely wild. Before we get into all of that, quick reminder, if you're not yet subscribed, we'd appreciate it very much if you hit that subscribe button as we climb closer to that 500 subscriber goal. And goodness gracious, we just watched arguably the greatest episode of Star Wars television history. I mean, is that too much of hyperbole to say about just how awesome episodes 7, 8, and 9 were? I can say, maybe with the exception, again, we said this as we were watching, Joey, with the exception maybe for the last 15 or 20 minutes of Mando Season 2, I don't know if there's any episode of Star Wars television that tops this. What are your thoughts? Just kind of, I know we watched 7, 8, and 9 kind of all kind of spread apart. What are your thoughts on the episodes as a whole, just right off the bat?
I'm really eating my words, because I think at the beginning of episode 7 watch, I said, this might be the most boring, this could be the boring section of the Andor season 2. And it turned out to be probably the most exciting three episodes, probably 8 and 9. Let's be clear. I think 8 and 9 really carried, obviously, this story arc and probably the season. I mean, I can't believe there's three more episodes. That's how good these episodes are. This could have ended a season, you know. So to have this as what's going into the last three episodes is a shock to me. Now, without them knowing, they have raised the bar now for the last three episodes, like, way high. I think about always, like, the penultimate. Is that the name of, like, the second-to-last episode before a season ends? So I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about, like, how, like, Game of Thrones, it was always that second to last episode when you're like, what is going to happen? Was Red Wedding on one of those, or was that a finale?
I think Red Wedding is season 3 or season 4. I don't recall if it is or isn't a penultimate, but I know what you mean. Like, it always feels like the episode before the final episode feels like there's something massive that happens.
Yeah. And I think this is what these three episodes were. Again, especially episode 8 and 9.
Yeah, 8 and 9 in particular, like you said. It was funny, just right before we hit record for this episode, we were talking about episode 7. We're like, yeah, what were all the things that happened in episode 7? And not to say that episode 7 wasn't good, because, I mean, I did enjoy it. It was just like, you know, craziness, you know, with the uprising on Gorman and the response to the Imperial kind of takeover of the planet really escalating in episode 8 to the point where the fighting started happening. I mean, in episode 8 you had the fight between Cassian and Cyril, but in episode 7 it was just kind of, you know, the building point up to that. We get to see Yavin 4, which is a cool inclusion. Of course, it's where we end episode 9 as well, which makes you think we're going to see a lot of Yavin 4 in episodes 10 through 12. But really, that first episode is just, like I said, the building of it, as Cassian's going undercover with yet another new name, posing as a journalist this time. Of course, he's been assigned this time with a mission to do away with Dedra, who we see in episode 8 has, man, that scene with Karn was like, oh my gosh. Like,
oh yeah. I was shocked that was being shown on a Star Wars show. The way he got so angry, basically choking her out, you know, kind of right in front. And, you know, I think they were by themselves in the room there, but still, just kind of see that dynamic and how it all switched, and just the anger he had in him. And just, I mean, it was crazy. And by the end of the episode, you know, you kind of mentioned it with Cassian and Cyril, you know, kind of fighting it out, duking it out, ultimately to have Cyril get killed by, I forgot the leader of the Gorman insurgents.
Caro Rylands, I think.
Rylands, yes. Yeah. I was a little shocked by that. I'm gonna be honest. I thought we were going to have a different Karn, where he maybe realizes the wrongs of the Empire and he and he switches sides. It felt like he was going that way because he had gone into the crowd, and you know, I didn't think he was going to make it out, but I thought his mindset had changed, where he's like, okay, this is wrong, the way they're leading these people. But it really seemed like he was just upset that he was kept in the dark. That's what the ending made it feel like, because he sees Cassian, and I believe they had met in Aldani, right? Is that the first time, or a Ferrix maybe?
Men in Aldani. Who are you talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about Cassian and Karn. Didn't they have a brief interaction on Ferrix?
I don't think so. Only because Karn has obviously been like trying to find him, but I think in the fight at the end of episode 8, Cassian sees him and says, "Who are you?"
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that means like he has never seen. That's a good question, and you know, maybe we need to go back and watch season 1 just mm-hmm. to be sure.
Well, because Karn knew who he was.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, yeah. So and I think that's where that came from, because I seem to remember, and you know, we would definitely have to go back to season 1. But I thought there was an interaction between the two of them, and either Karn went running scared or kind of just really didn't come out on top in that interaction. I could be mistaken, but maybe he's just trying to make that right, you know, now I'm on top type of tough guy attitude.
Well, I mean, regardless of whether it did or it didn't, just seeing Karn in the way that we see him in episode 8 is such a stark difference. You know, I mean, particularly from season 1 Karn, but most especially, like, I should say, particularly, like, not only from season 2 Karn that we've seen so far, but even, like, this huge departure from who he was in season 1. I mean, you could make the case that Karn's character transformation is arguably the biggest of anyone in this show. I mean, you can remember us watching this together in season 1 just being like, why do we care about Karn? He's such a weird character. He's awkward every time he's on the screen. He's got this weird, like, are we in a relationship, not in a relationship thing with Dedra going on. Of course, we find out, you know, of course, in this season that it is a relationship, but I was surprised by the way they did away with his character in episode 8. But at the same time, I think he stood for kind of what the seeds of the rebellion were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think if Karn, you know, hypothetically lives another year, I think you see him as part of the rebellion. I think he witnessed the atrocities and the misuse of power that the Empire was displaying on Gorman, and probably was aware of that prior in, you know, different circumstances in season 1 and whatnot, but especially what was happening on Gorman. And I don't see a world where if he survives the conflict on Gorman that he thinks, yeah, I'm going to keep working for the Empire.
Right.
Like, I think that dude, I mean, you could make the case he did die as part of the rebellion, because he kind of died standing up for what he believed in, which was, you know, the Empire, but not a tyrannical,
mm-hmm.
Genocidal Empire, you know, that he was witnessing on the planet. So, man, that fight in the, I think it was like a bar of some kind between him and Cassian. Boy, mm-hmm. brutal, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they were throwing haymakers left and right. And it was one of those fights that felt like longer than it should have been. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen, what was that movie with Rowdy Piper? And he's like an old wrestler. And oh, I can't remember another actor, but but essentially, the story is like, if you wear these sunglasses, you could see who the aliens are. That's essentially what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole storyline. It's a cheesy 80s thing. And I'm not even lying. One of the fights in there was like 5 or 6 minutes long. Like, didn't cut away to any other scenes. They just kept fighting. They kept falling. Okay, this fight didn't feel that long, but it just reminded me. I'm like, this fight seems just like maybe 30 seconds too long.
Like one of those 80s martial arts movies where it's just like
constant fighting.
The whole point of the scene is just watching a fight. Yeah. 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 It did feel like it went for a while, didn't it? And again, we watched episodes 7 and 9 together and 8 on our own. I was, again, I told you this while we were watching episode 9, but when that happened in episode 8, my first thought was, oh my gosh, Karn just died. My second thought was, dang, this would have been like a fun experience to watch with Joey, because we both would have been so shocked about it.
Yes. Because I was expecting a death in episode 9, not in 8.
Right. Yeah, and this is the first... So in the 1 through 3 trilogy episodes, I should say, of season 2 Andor, we lost Brazo, right? Brazo, that was his name, I think. We lost Brazo on Minarau. And then in 4 through 6, we lost Cinta on Gorman.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in episode 6, as Brazo was in episode 3. So yeah, it would make you think that, oh, we're, you know, whoever we lose in this part, because it seems like that's the trend that's building,
right,
we're going to lose them in 9. Which is why the Karn thing just came out of nowhere. And I get why they had the character who killed him, why that decision was made. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think we're going to see Rylands again in the rest of the story.
No, yeah.
Like, so I don't know. You know, it kind of felt like, Karn went out fighting for what he believed in. And at the same time, I wish there would have been like maybe a different ending for him, if he was going to have to face the ending. But I guess that's
right,
kind of the nature of war, especially in this show that has very mature themes and very brutal and lots of adult things going on, topics and such. So, yeah, I mean, just touching on the adult topics thing, I feel like we saw that even more in episodes 7 through 9.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're witnessing basically the genocide of the Gorman people. There's this scene with Karn where he's like choking Dedra,
yeah,
and you're like, oh my gosh, are we still watching Star Wars right now? Like, of course, the scene where Karn goes down, and just all of it, the way
you got Bail Organa dropping an S-bomb in the middle, middle of the Senate,
and the woman who was like the double agent supposed to be working for Bail, but actually working for the ISB, like throat punching that guy, and then like shooting him with a muffled, you know, the
blaster,
end of the gun. Golly, or blaster, I should say. Yeah, just kind of a different kind of Star Wars show, and not in a bad way. Just like, if you're planning on watching this with your 8-year-old, maybe reconsider, everyone. That's
this
all
isn't
I'm saying.
This isn't your Young Jedi Adventures, guys. This is some adult themed Star Wars.
Which, by the way, shout out to Young Jedi Adventures, just renewed for a new season.
I think a week
or two ago. So. Nice. Maybe we'll have to give that show another shot sometimes.
We'll give it another episode to give it a shot.
Yeah. Going into episode, I don't want to glance too much over episode 8, because you know that's when the rebellion, well, not the rebellion, the uprising that's taking place on Gorman in response to the Empire's occupation of the planet. Were there any other parts of that episode that we glanced over that were particularly meaningful for you as you were watching it? I mean, we talked about Karn's death.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Cassian, you know, being assigned to take out Dedra. And the other pieces that stood out to you about episode 8 before we move on to the big episode 9?
I think seeing Cassian experience that genocide and being in the middle of it, he ends up wanting to leave the rebellion because of everything he has seen. You know, he wants to stay with Bix and have a life with her, you know, just the two of them together. Was it episode 7 that was the force healer? We should probably mention that as well.
Yeah, that was 7. Yeah.
Yeah, so he had like a blaster burn on his back, and in Yavin apparently Bix had found the force healer in the village or something. I don't know if they have Google there or how she knew, but apparently she figured out that there was a force healer there, and he had helped her. She had helped him kind of heal up that force, that burn on his back. And in that, it seems like the force healer had kind of read into his mind or into his thoughts or just into his past and to see who he was. And I think that's what led Bix to believe, like, you know, he's meant to be a part of the rebellion, like something bigger.
Mm.
And maybe that's what is, because the force healer talked to Bix after that, where, you know, Cassian had nothing; didn't want to have anything to do with it. But after he had run off, they had that conversation, and it seems like Bix really took to heart what the Force Healer was saying, and kind of really leads into what she did in Episode 9.
Yeah, I mean that's an awesome point. Like, I don't know if the decision that Bix makes in Episode 9 to basically give up love for the sake of the rebellion and leave Yavin so that Andor will stay on Yavin as be part of the rebellion. I don't know if that doesn't if that happens without this important scene in episode 7. So yeah, that's a great shout out and call there. I mean, going right into episode 9, because that connects perfectly to it, that was definitely something I didn't anticipate. I mean, you know, coming into the show, who, you know, isn't going to make it, or who's not going to be a part of Andor's, of Rogue One, I should say, because, you know, like, we knew all along, here's this character Bix we're getting in season 1 of Andor. We're like, natural thought process. Well, where is she in Rogue One? You know, one of two things is going to happen to her. She's either going to go away somewhere, or she's going to bite the bullet. And it seems like a lot of the characters are doing the latter. However, it seems like Bix is doing the former. I feel like the way they kind of tied her story together in the end of episode 9, I don't necessarily anticipate seeing her in 10, 11, or 12.
Right. I would be shocked too.
I mean, that would make the most sense, and it would kind of take away some of the meaning mm-hmm. of her monologue at the end of the episode that she's, you know, giving to Cassian over the video call. But
and I think that the most heartbreaking part of that letter was she was saying that I'll find you after all this is done. Yeah. And we know he doesn't make it off of Scarif. So where, you know, where is she looking? You know, where is Bix during this? That's going to be the next campaign after Andor season 2 is done, is hashtag where's Bix?
Yeah. Well, maybe we get Bix again sometime in the future. But I mean, the majority of episode 9, though, was this awesome espionage scene going on in the Senate. I mean, you had three agents working together, and one of them was a double agent working for the ISB. You had Cassian and Chris, remind me of his name, Chris, I know it starts with a K.
Oh, God. Urquhart? Something, one of those.
Urquhart. The guy with the really nice hair.
Really nice hair. Elvis hair.
Like, you had him and Cassian, like, you know, trying to defend Mon. You've got Bail as a piece of this, which, by the way, like, I don't really fully understand the Bail piece. He's like, I'm not going to help you, but I am going to yield the floor to the senator who's going to basically start the rebellion.
Yeah, right.
It's like, I don't know. What's he going to say to the ISB agents who interview him after? He's like, I didn't know she was going
to
do that.
She had a favor. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
I owed her some money.
Giving her the favor. I don't know. I mean, Bail does maybe get out of it. Oh, also, the question we posed in our reaction, maybe those of you watching or listening can hit us up either in the socials or if you're watching the video version in the YouTube comments. We're pretty sure Bail's canonical death is when Alderaan explodes in A New Hope.
Is that right? But
if that's not right, let us know. We were thinking about that as we're watching the episode. So, the speech that Mon Mothma gives in the Senate, the one really other big piece I wanted to hit on for episode 9, just this moment of like, wow, this is where the rebellion really officially formally started. You know, you've got all these people coming to Yavin slowly. You've got Luthen working behind the scenes for years as Axis, but this is like the face of the rebellion starting right here with this speech from Mon Mothma in the Senate. A great speech too, by the way. Here, I'm going to read it real quickly. I believe we are in crisis. The death of truth is the ultimate victory of evil. What happened yesterday in Gorman was unprovoked genocide. And at this point, we were like, "Ooh, those are some strong words, Mon." And the monster screaming the loudest, the monster we helped create, the monster that will come for us all soon enough is Emperor Palpatine. At which point they shut the broadcast off, and we were like, oh my gosh, she went there. So it's clear Palpatine has probably a lot of ill will.
I mean, he seems like a nice guy, though. I'm sure he'll have a nice conversation with Mon, and they'll just brush it all under the rug.
Yeah, I don't know if old Palpy has been known to be forgiving, but what ensues after that is her escape from the Senate in this standoff scene with the undercover ISB agent who was posing as one of Bail's three agents, you know, basically putting them at blaster point. Mm-hmm. And I think it's Cassian who takes her out.
Yes.
But man, you can tell Mon Mothma is so shaken, and later as well when Cassian also takes out her driver, who's also working for the ISB. And he looks at her, he's like, "Welcome to the rebellion."
Yeah.
which I was reading actually between our watching of episode 9 and the recording of this podcast is the exact same line that he says to Jyn Erso in Rogue One.
He does say that
about a year from this time. So just a fun tie-in again there.
That's right. Oh
yeah,
I love it. And also we at the end of episode 8 or end of episode 9, of course we had the sad letter that we got from Bix. You know, saying that she's going to leave. She's choosing the rebellion. I think that those were the words that she said. But at the end, we did get to see the beginning also of a good friendship between Cassian and K2SO, because they powered him on. Looks like he's already as sassy as we remember him in Rogue One. So like, I'm excited to see that. What we're going to see Cassian and K2 in the last three episodes, probably, of the series.
Right. Yeah, a fun way to put a nice little bow on what is arguably one of the greatest episodes in Star Wars TV history. Having said all of that, Joey, and would pose the same question to those of you listening or watching, how are you ranking or grading these episodes on a scale of 1 to 10?
I mean... I'll give episode 7 like a solid, like, you know, I guess a solid 8. Like, it wasn't like it kind of fit everything else that kind of what we've seen up to this point.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it on these last two. Especially in this series, in this season, I'm giving 2 tens on 8 and 9.
Wow, okay.
Because I know that you always want to leave a little bit of room, but at the same time, I'm like, these were so good, everything about them, the writing, the acting, just the, you know, the I was doing the lean on the chair, how important you know, the scenes are. So yeah, I'm giving tens to those two.
Ah, man, pressure's on. So my gut was also. I thought about going up to 8.5 for episode 7. I could probably talk myself into an 8.5, but I, you know, I could easily be at an 8 too, kind of like you said. I definitely feel like I am with you with episode 9. Arguably strongest episode of Star Wars television ever made, like from top to bottom, beginning to end. Like, I know all of you in the comments before you go comment, or if you want to comment it. I know the last 15 minutes of Mando Season 2 are, like, awesome. I think it's awesome, too. I loved seeing Luke Skywalker just as much as everyone else. But, I mean, from beginning to end, top to bottom, I think this is the strongest episode of Star Wars TV ever. And so for that, I also have to give it a 10. I think this is only the second time I've ever given anything a 10. With the exception of the other one being Mando... the end of Mando Season 2, just because at the time it was like, oh my gosh, Luke Skywalker, like, this is a 12 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think for episode 8, just because I loved episode 9 so much, I also loved episode 8, but for me there is a little bit of a gap there.
Sure.
And so I think I'll go like a 9.5
mm-hmm.
for episode 8, but just genuinely some of the best Star Wars television in history. 8 and 9... I have found myself in most of season 2 feeling at certain points in the episodes like, okay, like we're moving a little bit slow, but I'm enjoying, we're moving slow. I did not feel that way at all in episode 8 and at all in episode 9. It was just, agreed. I'm locked in, the conflict has started, the suspenseful music is going in the background, there's tons of espionage going on. I was all about it, and I genuinely, genuinely loved it. And, I think they could be just as good, episodes 10 through 12. I wouldn't be shocked. And to bring us all, kind of wrap us back to what you started off this podcast with, Joey, you did say that episodes 7 through 9 were probably going to be the most boring part of this show.
Dagger and just digging into there, yeah. I was wrong. I was very wrong. I'm sorry. Lucasfilms and Star Wars, that was the best.
Yeah. It truly was really good. And, you know, if you didn't enjoy it, would love to hear from you as well. Would love to hear from those of you. Particularly, I know Andor is not for everyone. Like, it's definitely not for an audience, like, under the age of probably 13, maybe. I mean, you could make the case 16 and under, but definitely probably 13 and under I would recommend it to. And just, you know, there's fans of the original Star Wars, maybe, who aren't the biggest fans of Andor. You know, that's okay. I'm just saying, I think objectively, from a television writing standpoint, this is one of the best episodes in Star Wars TV history. So let us know, though, if you do disagree. And there's no shame in disagreeing. We'd still love to hear from you. Looking forward to episodes 10, 11, and 12. We're going to be back here a week from now doing another mini podcast on those episodes, as well as releasing reactions to those episodes as well. The reactions might flow out a little bit slower than normal, just with kind of how they're releasing three
and how many there are.
Yeah, there's like a ton of them, three each week. We've got lots of episodes that will inevitably come out.
And we have full-time jobs, so.
And we have full-time jobs, so that's another big piece of this. But the podcasts will still be coming out every Thursday, and you can consume them here on YouTube in video format or Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts in audio format. And we want to thank all those of you for listening or watching to this episode. Hope you all are enjoying Andor Season 2 as much as we are, because I know it's been an absolute blast. Looking forward to this. The end of Andor is next week. That's weird to say. The end of Andor is next week. So it's been a wild ride. It's been a fun one, and a special one for us, too, because as you know, Joey, that's kind of what started the Hoth Hangout podcast. Back in Episode 1, we were just talking for 2 hours about the first three episodes of Andor Season 1. And here we are, whatever it is, 2+ years later, getting ready to talk about the last three episodes of Andor. So it is definitely a full circle moment in that sense. And we want to thank all those of you for watching and listening to today's episode one more time. Check out any of the reactions to all of Andor Season 2 available on YouTube. And we hope to catch you all in the next one. And until then, may the Force be with you.